Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today, we're covering five rumored Zelda games. A canceled adventure between Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword, a Zelda 2 remake, a couple Oracle-era Game Boy Color titles, and a Zelda mobile game. That last one's still in development. Or is it? Before we show you the evidence debunking or supporting each game's existence, we'll give you a few seconds to try and predict if the rumor was true, or just gaming websites making up fake news for clicks. So, let's dig into the first one. Did you know there was almost a Zelda 2 remake on Game Boy Advance? Low-res images and footage of a demo surfaced online in October 2000, showing an impressive reimagining of Hyrule's overworld. It had flowing water, more detailed tiles, and transparent clouds floating across the screen. Almost 15 years after its debut on NES, it looked like the black sheep of the series was getting a bottom-up remake. So was there any truth to the rumor? Well, no. But some news outlets at the time would have had you believe it was real, and some versions of the myth still survive on lost media websites like Unseen64 and YouTube videos chronicling canceled games. Back in 2000, Nintendo World Report said there was, quote, a demo of Zelda 2 running on Game Boy Advance, and hoped it'd be part of a Zelda All-Stars collection on Nintendo's new handheld. Fan sites like Zelda Power and Zelda Legends carried the story as well, calling it a demo of an enhanced version of Zelda 2 running on GBA hardware. To be fair though, even though they were hyping it up as a possible remake, most sites were careful to say a remake wasn't officially confirmed. But some sites weren't so careful. More on that in a minute. Not much else was known about the mysterious Zelda demo until 2019, when it was suddenly discovered by accident. We recently spoke with internet archivist Jacob Lennard, who explained how he lucked into finding it. He was browsing eBay looking for prototypes and stumbled over a QA tester selling a development disc for SpongeBob SquarePants Super Sponge. The QA tester must have used them for playtesting 20 years ago and was now trying to clear out some space and make a few bucks. After Jacob won the auction for $100, he dug into the discs and found some SpongeBob prototype assets. Satisfied that he found what he was looking for, Jacob uploaded the contents of the disc to the Internet Archive and moved on with his life. But now that it was freely available to the public, another archivist group known as Forest of Illusion went digging even deeper into the disc's contents and found the long-lost Zelda 2 demo. Apparently, the devs used it to help make SpongeBob, and the ROM was still fully intact on the disc as part of a software development kit. So discovering the long-lost demo 20 years later was just a happy accident. But here's the thing. Once they got their hands on the demo, it was pretty clear it had absolutely nothing to do with Zelda 2. It only bears the slightest resemblance to the game's map and could have just as easily been any other game. Many 8-bit titles looked pretty similar. But there's nothing indicating a connection with any of them. It's just a tech demo showing off the GBA's capabilities, like scrolling, zooming, and transparency. So where'd all these websites get the idea that it was Hyrule? Most of them don't cite a source at all, but the ones who do say they got their information from the Nintendo Project, an old news site that doesn't exist anymore, but can still be found with the Wayback Machine. The Nintendo Project was run by a 15-year-old kid named Brian Stelter, who nowadays hosts a show on CNN called Reliable Sources. Or at least he did. Reliable Sources actually got taken off the air while this video was being written. Back in October 2000, Brian posted several articles about the so-called Zelda 2 demo, including this one with the headline, Exclusive, Zelda GBA Demo Revealed, and goes on to make it sound like a full-on remake is in the works. And yes, we can confirm it is in fact the Brian Stelter, the CNN guy. The Nintendo Project had a French partner site, also called Nintendo Project, and Brian got all of his information about the demo from his French partner Julien Fursat, who was the only person known to have played it. One thing missing from all these articles was where the demo actually came from. They never addressed if it was at E3 or Space World or some high-level meeting. They just kinda said it existed, without explanation. So now, 22 years later, we got in touch with Julien Fursat to find out. He told us, "I had a website, Nintendo project, and we had several contacts in the industry. I played it at the office of French publisher Titus Interactive. They were of course not authorized to show it to us, but Titus is gone, so it's okay to talk about it now. We asked if anyone told him it was a Zelda 2 demo, and he said no, but it sure looked like one to him." As the conversation went on, it was clear he was such a huge fan of Zelda 2, it had seeped into the cracks of his brain and he genuinely believed he was looking at Hyrule. But even back in 2000, he knew it was just a tech demo for developers, and not a remake in progress. In other words, the only reason people thought it was Zelda for the past two decades is because of one guy's misunderstanding, then Brian Stelter's clickbait articles sensationalizing it and spreading misinformation all around the English-speaking world. We reached out to Brian to get his side of the story, but he declined to comment. We guess you could say, for this story at least, his sources weren't so reliable after all. Sorry, couldn't resist. The punchline just kinda wrote itself. Okay, now to the next rumor. A game known as Zelda Mobile. The story was initially leaked through the Wall Street Journal in a 2017 article that relied on anonymous sources. It said in part, quote, "Nintendo plans to bring its video game franchise, The Legend of Zelda, to smartphones," people familiar with the matter said. "The latest step by the Kyoto company to expand its mobile games lineup. Nintendo is developing the games with Tokyo-based DNA Company." Representatives of Nintendo and DNA declined to comment. For those unaware, DNA is the company Nintendo owns a piece of and partnered with to make all their early mobile games. But as we said, the report all hinged on anonymous sources, which should always be taken with a grain of salt. So, was the rumor true? The jury's still out, but we actually think this one might have some basis in reality. Let's look at the evidence. The Wall Street Journal's anonymous sources also said Animal Crossing Pocket Camp was going to release in late 2017. Which ended up being true, despite not having a release date at the time. The sources also said a new Pokemon TCG app was also in the works, then one released about a year and a half later. So it seems those anonymous sources might have known what they were talking about. The journal's reporting was also corroborated by the Financial Times 2 weeks later, in an article that says people close to Nintendo confirmed that Zelda Mobile was in development. We talked to one of the article's authors, who told us they did have insider sources of their own and weren't just repeating what the Wall Street Journal already printed. We also checked the Japanese side of the internet. There's a couple app tracking sites with placeholders for Zelda Mobile, but the only sources they link are the two articles we just mentioned. In other words, Japanese fans don't know anything more than we do. Nintendo never officially confirmed or denied the leak or made any official announcements, but some interviews from a few months earlier seem to hint at their authenticity. At a Tokyo press conference, Nintendo President Kimishima said together with DNA, they were going to launch 5 mobile games by March 2017. A little while later, when Super Mario Run released, Time magazine asked Shigeru Miyamoto if this was one of those 5 DNA games. He said, "Yes, this is one of the titles Mr. Kimishima had referenced, but we don't know if there will end up being all 5 of them." Then in a follow-up email after the interview was over, Miyamoto redefined the release schedule, saying, "We've consistently stated a plan to launch approximately 5 mobile apps by the end of this fiscal year, but given market conditions and the development process for each title, our current plan is to launch 4 total mobile titles in that period." In other words, one mobile game was either delayed or canned, partly due to concerns surrounding development. It stands to reason that the missing game might have been the same Zelda mentioned in the leaks. At this point, Nintendo had most of their biggest IPs already on smartphones or currently in the works, like Mario, Mario Kart, Animal Crossing, Fire Emblem, and Pokemon. So based on everything we've covered so far, we think Zelda Mobile probably was in the works. But what would it actually have played like? Modern smartphones are fully capable of delivering a traditional Zelda experience. Games like Oceanhorn come to mind. And Genshin Impact is pretty similar to Breath of the Wild, and reviewed well on mobile. But all Nintendo's other mobile games are trimmed-down, pocket-sized versions of their respective series, so we don't expect anything resembling a console experience. One thing we can see with near certainty is that it wouldn't have been a traditional Zelda game with a button overlay, since Nintendo hasn't resorted to that with any of their other games, and their mobile games tend to all be playable with one hand. When Nintendo bought 10% of DNA and entered a partnership to make Nintendo mobile games in 2015, then-President Satoru Iwata said, There are significant differences in the controls, strengths, and weaknesses between the controllers for dedicated game systems and the touchscreens of smart devices. We have no intention at all to port existing game titles for dedicated game platforms to smart devices because if we cannot provide our consumers with the best possible play experiences, it would just ruin the value of Nintendo's IP. There's been a ton of speculation on what Zelda Mobile might have been from sites like IGN, who suggested a Pokemon Go-like shrine hunting concept where players track down shrines in the real world. They also thought it could be a town builder or something along those lines. Then there's Zelda Universe, who thought it might have had something to do with the dungeon builder from Link's Awakening, which was sorely missing the ability to share your custom dungeons online. But the most interesting take came from somewhere else. About a year after the initial Zelda Mobile reports, fan site Japanese Nintendo noticed a new patent filed in Japan. The paperwork was for Spirit Tracks, and included the terms Downloadable Video Game Program and Program for Smartphone, suggesting Zelda Mobile was still in the works and might be headed in a new direction, drawing inspiration from Link's second outing on the Nintendo DS. To be clear, the patent might have meant nothing. Just Nintendo renewing old IP with the smartphone category tacked on as trademark protection. But Spirit Tracks does make some amount of sense, since it was controlled almost entirely with the touchscreen, and the long, thin nature of trains and railroad tracks would fit nicely on a phone's vertical display. The game's musical instrument, the Spirit Flute, was also played by blowing into the DS's microphone, which would have also translated well onto mobile. It's not hard to imagine a modernized Spirit Tracks sequel you can play with one hand, just like Nintendo's other mobile games. Here's Miyamoto showing Americans they can play Super Mario Run with one hand while eating a burger in the other. Now that's salesmanship! And that brings us to the one thing we do know about Zelda Mobile, and that's how Nintendo would probably monetize it. Super Mario Run was a pretty decent game when it was released in 2016, but financially, Nintendo considered it a failure. The problem was that they charged a $10 flat fee to buy the game outright, giving access to the complete experience. Mobile users balked at the price tag, and only 3% of the people who downloaded the free demo shelled out for the full game. So every Nintendo mobile game after that was free to play and stuffed with microtransactions and loot boxes, which apparently mobile gamers prefer, because those games were exponentially more successful. We don't want to bore you with too many numbers, but it's only going to take one example to get the point across. The average person who downloaded Fire Emblem Heroes spent $55 on microtransactions, while the average person who downloaded Mario Run only spent 28 cents, because most of them just played the free demo, then didn't want to pay the 10 bucks. Seems people would rather get nickel and dimed. There was some celebration last year when Mario Kart Tour removed most of its loot boxes, but it still got a store with $40 price tags and core content locked behind a $5 a month Gold Pass subscription. We played Mario Kart Tour, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, and Fire Emblem Heroes while researching this video, and we think it's fair to say they're all designed to make you reach for your wallet as often as possible. If Zelda Mobile released back in 2017, maybe we could have gotten the Mario Run treatment and paid for the full game up front. But if Nintendo releases it someday in the future, which they probably will in one form or another, there's a good chance it'll be free to play and built around microtransactions. Fire Emblem players have spent billions, making them 196 times more profitable than Mario players. Zelda's a much bigger IP than Fire Emblem, virtually guaranteeing a bigger crowd and more money. As a publicly traded company, Nintendo's got a fiduciary responsibility to maximize profits for their shareholders. So in accordance with their current mobile strategy, they're almost certainly gonna loot box it up. For the record, you can play Nintendo's mobile games and have fun without spending a penny. Zelda Mobile would probably be the same. You could adventure all the way to the end for free, but the best swords, train parts, and castle upgrades or whatever are gonna cost $5 in the shop, or have a 1% drop rate in randomized loot boxes. But enough about mobile games. Let's move on to those Game Boy Color games. In 1999, Nintendo partnered with Capcom to make 6 new Zelda games, but they only ended up making 4. Oracle of Ages, Oracle of Seasons, 4 Swords, and the Minish Cap. So did we miss out on 2 Zelda games Nintendo and Capcom promised to make? No. Wikipedia, Fandom Wiki, and various other websites and YouTube videos all say Capcom agreed to make 6 Zeldas. That claim is double-sourced on Wikipedia, so at a glance, you'd probably assume it's true. So let's dig into both sources, a 1999 issue of a German magazine and an IGN article from the same year. We originally went digging into this story to try and learn more about those two missing Zelda games in order to find out what they were. So we tracked down that German magazine and had it translated. It's an interview with Oracle producer Yoshiki Okamoto, but nowhere does he say anything even close to Capcom and Nintendo signing an agreement to make six Zelda games. We checked out the IGN page too, but it just says, IGN has learned that Nintendo's hard at work on six new Zelda titles for Game Boy Color. They never say how they learned that information. They did talk to Okamoto earlier that year, but not about Zelda specifically. We'd like to have checked with IGN's author to ask where he learned that information no one else had, especially since it flies in the face of everything we do know about the Oracle Games development, but the article doesn't even say who wrote it. We got in contact with Yoshiki Okamoto, but when we asked him about it, the idea of six Zelda games didn't ring any bells, and he was the guy at Capcom who struck the deal with Miyamoto in the first place. Now, it is true that Oracle of Seasons essentially began development as a Zelda 1 remake for Game Boy Color, and after that there were gonna be three Oracle games until Miyamoto cancelled one of them, because Okamoto's team was having trouble making a full trilogy. But the deal for six Capcom Zeldas, and especially six for Game Boy Color specifically, just seems like it was kind of made up from thin air. It's an unsourced claim from IGN that made it onto Wikipedia, then got copy-pasted all over the internet. That kind of thing happens more than you might expect, actually. One time Wikipedia cited a particular page of a book, so we bought the book on Amazon, then we read it, and it wasn't even about the same topic. But we digress. We've pretty much exhausted everything we know about this false claim, so let's tackle the last and largest game in this video. The Legend of Zelda: Valley of the Flood, also known as Project Deluge. In the summer of 2008, it had almost been 2 years since Twilight Princess came out, with no word from Nintendo on what was coming next. That's when a leaked interview surfaced online, which wasn't supposed to be published until E3 a few weeks later. In the interview, Zelda director Eiji Aonuma offered some details on what the next Zelda was going to look like. Simply put, it was a Wind Waker prequel, but much darker and wouldn't have Link as the main character. So was it true? Was this the cancelled Zelda game between Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword? Of course not. In retrospect, it's an obvious fake leak, and that anyone believed it at all seems laughable. But some people actually did believe it. Fans were talking about it all over the internet, from message boards to actual website articles, and even Wikipedia moderators didn't know if Project Deluge should be added to the main Zelda page. Like most fake leaks, Valley of the Flood's been mostly forgotten about nowadays, but it's one of the most far-reaching Zelda rumors of all time, and pretty hilarious to look back on. So let's get into it. In the quote-unquote leaked interview, Aonuma says, "There are various critical aspects of Deluge that I want to address. The first is a greater sense of psychological peril. Miyamoto and I have disagreed a great deal on the importance of storytelling in games. He argues for simplicity and straightforwardness, and I have long believed that stories in games can be as powerful as in books if done well. So I want to assert that the game will have a much more complicated story in the sense that our hero is no longer mute." In Wind Waker's opening cutscene, it recounts a time when Ganon returned, but the hero never came to slay him, so the gods flooded Hyrule. Aonuma says before that flood is when this game will take place, with Hyrule crumbling and the races in chaos. The land needs a hero, so one boy deludes himself into thinking he is that hero, and even starts wearing Link's iconic green tunic. He's insane, basically, and believes it's his destiny to defeat Ganon and save Hyrule. Ganon's more of a lunatic too, and occasional cutscenes show his madness overpower him throughout the game. Nintendo is drawing visual inspiration from Majora's Mask to elicit themes of psychological peril, and putting special emphasis on voice acting and a fully orchestrated soundtrack, a first for the Zelda franchise. This iteration of Hyrule would be more steampunk-themed. Miyamoto was thrilled with the idea, apparently, and some enemies would even fight with muskets. For transportation, the hero has a horse, access to a railroad spanning Hyrule, and a method of flying that Aonuma didn't want to give away before E3. However, world traversal would get a lot more difficult towards the end of the game, when the flooding starts and huge swaths of Hyrule are completely underwater. Nowadays, fake leaks are a dime a dozen, but back in 2008, folks were a bit more naive. Those were the days of gaming magazines and message boards, before Twitter and YouTube were all that prominent. Looking at old forum threads, it seems most fans didn't believe it, but a lot genuinely did, or at least wanted to believe it. There hadn't been a new Zelda game or even a hint of one for 2 years at this point, and Aonuma saying a new one was releasing next year provided fans with the hope and hype they were yearning for. Other fans were more in the middle, maybe not wanting to look like chumps. Looking back, there's a few lines that make the interview especially suspicious, like Aonuma saying Mario will have to fix Nintendo's leaky pipe so news of Project Deluge don't make it out to the public. If there's a lesson to be learned, it's to try to only get information from people you trust. And if it's from some random dude on the internet, believe nothing you hear and only half of what you see. Did you know? Although some of the earliest rumors about Zelda games have been lost to time, a handful have been documented in physical and online media. One prominent rumor about the first Zelda claimed that it had a third quest. If the player beats The Legend of Zelda, or names their character Zelda on the first playthrough, they'll be able to play a slightly altered version of the game known as the Second Quest. The rumor alleges that if the second quest is beat, a third quest will be unlocked. This claim was even taken at face value by Nintendo's official magazine in Sweden, known as the Nintendo Video Spelklub. In the sixth issue of the magazine for January 1989, there's a segment that reads, "Have you heard that there's a third quest? Yes, there is. After clearing the second quest, you're returned to the beginning where everything looks the same. But after a while, you will notice that things are no longer the same as they were in the second quest. What are you waiting for? Go ahead and explore quest number 3. However, this rumor was entirely fake, and no third quest exists in the game. There was eventually a third quest of sorts released in the form of BS The Legend of Zelda for the Super Famicom's Saddle of View add-on, but this wasn't until 1995. Another prominent rumor stated that it was somehow possible to equip Link with a Santa suit, though some rumors reported this as a set of pajamas. This claim likely originated from one of Link's hit frames. When Link takes damage, he flashes a various range of colors, including white and red, which is very reminiscent of Saint Nick. As you might expect, it isn't possible to unlock this Santa-esque color scheme in the game without the aid of cheats or hacking. Another rumor from the time alleged that you could beat the title entirely without using the sword. This claim persists to this day, possibly due to the Zelda swordless speedrunning category. However, even these runs use the sword at least once. It's only possible to make it as far as the fight against Ganon without the sword, as the player needs a sword to defeat Ganon. Another often cited rumor is that players could, by whatever means, acquire a gun in the game. There have been several variations on this story, such as acquiring a gun from the old man at the start of the game, to performing an elaborate set of tasks to possess one. Although Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link, wasn't as popular as the first Legend of Zelda, it still had its rumors. One rumor alleged that Nintendo was limiting the amount of new games they sent to stores in North America in 1988. This was apparently so that demand exceeded supply, creating buzz. This would also force customers who wanted Nintendo games at Christmas to buy older titles, clearing out Nintendo's unsold stock. This rumor stems from Zelda 2 being originally planned for release in February 1988. The title was teased many times throughout the year in Nintendo Power, then called Nintendo Fun Club News, but the title was ultimately pushed back to October. In one issue of Nintendo Power, it was stated that the delay was due to a shortage of computer chips needed to manufacture cartridges. This was suspicious in the eyes of the public, as the chip shortage Nintendo mentioned only seemed to affect Zelda 2 and Super Mario Bros. 2. This led to people assuming Nintendo were lying about the chip shortage and were creating artificial demand for their products. However, this rumor doesn't stand up to scrutiny. While it may be true that Nintendo underestimated the demand for their games in 1988, the chip shortage for this moment in time is well documented. On top of this, it's estimated that Nintendo sold 33 million cartridges that year, but could have sold 45 million carts if they fulfilled the existing demand. It seems unlikely that Nintendo would willingly lose 12 million units in sales to create buzz for a few games. For The Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past, there were rumors about a special set of yellow clothes for Link. To unlock the rare mail, players would have to enter the Dark World, then get the magic hammer at the Palace of Darkness and immediately leave. They'd then have to beat the Swamp Palace, Thieves' Town, Skull Woods, and Misery Mire in that order, then return to the Palace of Darkness and complete it. Then, if the player went to the Ice Palace and opened the large chest, they'd have a set of yellow clothes instead of blue ones. This rumor was clearly false, and could be disproved simply by completing the proposed steps and finding the standard blue mail. Surprisingly, the claim was featured on several prominent cheat websites throughout the late 90s and 2000s, but most sites have since deleted the rumor. Just as a quick aside, we won't be talking about the Chris Houlihan room or any similar secrets in Zelda games. The existence of the room was publicly announced in a contest where the winner would get a secret room named after them in a future Nintendo game. Although there was some speculation over how to find the room, we don't feel that we can class the situation as a rumor. This is because the room's existence was clearly communicated by Nintendo in advance, and was implemented as described, a secret room. To make sure our rumor videos are consistent, we need to define what a rumor is, and we believe a rumor needs to either have a questionable point of origin, or a questionable authenticity from its inception. Whether or not the Houlihan room existed has neither. Again, it was also included as described. Being the first portable Zelda title didn't stop Link's Awakening from getting its share of rumors. The final dungeon of the game takes place in the Windfish's Egg, which starts with an empty room leading into a second room with a pitfall. This second area is almost entirely floorless, but there is a ledge on the other side of the room beside a doorway. The ledge is unfortunately inaccessible, but this didn't stop fans from speculating what could lie beyond it. Some believed that the room led to the true final boss, and some thought the door led to a secret ninth instrument, or even another dungeon. However, the room leads to nothing. Another rumor about Link's Awakening stated that a topless mermaid was hidden in the game. This claim surprisingly has some truth to it, and may have stemmed from players who imported the Japanese version of Link's Awakening. Although the mermaid Martha is in all versions of the title, the Japanese game has a more lewd tone. In the English game, Martha emerges from the water after Link has brought her a lost necklace. In the Japanese version, Martha emerges after Link brings her a bra. The implication in the Japanese game is that Martha wouldn't come out of the water until she was able to cover herself up, implying she was naked. The Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time was an ambitious game for its time, and the title's popularity and depth made it an ideal target for rumor mongers. Rumors about the game usually stemmed from a misunderstanding or hoax, and were easily debunked. One prominent rumor involved the Running Man, who appears frequently running around Hyrule Field. The player can race the Running Man with the goal of beating a certain time, but it's impossible to actually beat him to the finish line. After Ocarina of Time's release, rumors began spreading that it was possible to beat the Running Man. These claims persisted for over a decade, culminating with a 2009 video by YouTube user Rusty Sporks, which showed them winning the race. Rusty Sporks claimed to have started a race, then traveled back in time by 7 years, then waited 7 years in-game. Since Ocarina of Time's days are 4 minutes long, the player would have to wait about 7.1 days in real life. After waiting for 7 years, the Running Man would finally meet Link on the bridge in defeat. This, however, was fake. Players have tried all kinds of tactics to beat the Running Man, such as hacking the game to speed up Link. However, the game is programmed so that the Running Man will always beat the player by at least 1 second. There's also no dialogue in the game's ROM in the event of the player beating him. Another rumor, which emerged shortly after the title's release, claimed the game had a hidden cheat code that made everyone at the Lon Lon Ranch naked. Allegedly, game translator Dan Owsen claimed there was a secret code in the game that would cause Malon, Talon, and Ingo to become naked. Fans asked Owsen to publish the code after this rumor was posted on the fansite Closet of Hyrule, but Owsen denied the code's existence, and also denied that he'd ever mentioned such a code before. Several other sites claimed the secret could be unlocked without a code, as long as the player followed a long list of 66 steps. The steps ask the player to do seemingly meaningless tasks all over Hyrule, and almost comes off as comical. In 1999, the admin of Closet of Hyrule admitted they'd created the rumor themselves, and asked Zelda fans to stop messaging Dan Owsen for the code. Some players also posted about their encounters with a mysterious pig-like enemy, nicknamed El Puerco, which allegedly had a small chance of appearing during the race with Dampe in the graveyard. This rumor was dismissed by most of the Zelda community, but it's been hypothesized that the creature could have been a glitched re-dead enemy. The more likely explanation is that El Puerco is a complete fabrication, as no evidence of such a creature was ever supplied. Yet another absurd rumor stated that players could somehow obtain an M16 at Kakariko Village. One version of this claim alleged that using a bomb or the hammer in a specific location in Kakariko after beating the Water Temple would unlock the weapon. Other rumors were at least partially grounded in reality. After Ocarina of Time hit store shelves, fans looked back at how the game was covered in the media and noticed several places and features were absent from the final game. As you might expect, this led to a large amount of speculation and rumors. One area that was planned to appear in the 64DD expansion was nicknamed the Unicorn Fountain by fans. It was said to still be in the game and could be reached by going through a mysterious tunnel located under the ice in Zora's domain. Early screenshots from the game also show Link performing a sword beam attack, where the player can fire a beam out of their sword if they're at full health. Since both the sword beam and unicorn area had been seemingly removed or hidden, fans speculated that the beam could be unlocked at the unicorn fountain. Some players also speculated that melting the ice at Zora's domain as adult Link would grant access to the tunnel that led to the unicorn fountain. A widely repeated method of doing this involved entering the Great Deku Tree as adult Link and finding a hammer that could shatter the ice. This can't be done in normal gameplay, however, and hacking the game to do so reveals that nothing is different if the player visits the Deku Tree as adult Link. This fact became irrelevant when some players found a way to glitch themselves under the ice in Zora's domain and found nothing. Easily the most prominent rumor for Ocarina of Time stated that the Triforce could be collected as a physical item in the game. This rumor likely stemmed from early screenshots and video, which seemed to show Link obtaining the Triforce. The final game also shows an imprint of the Triforce in the title's menu, which is significant as these outlines usually mean an item can be collected. Several possible methods of finding the Triforce were passed around, including throwing a bomb into the center of the lava pool outside of Ganon's castle, destroying all the gossip stones found in the game, and completing the title 100% without taking any damage. Some gamers even believe the Triforce could be found at the Unicorn Fountain. Several of these tales also claim that Dark Link would appear in Link's home partway through trying to obtain the Triforce. The Triforce rumor was given some credibility in 1999 by a series of screenshots posted on the fan site Hyrule, The Land of Zelda. The screenshots were sent to the site's owner by a person claiming to be a 17-year-old Colombian woman named Ariana Almandos. The images appeared to show Link obtaining the Triforce in a previously unseen area of the game, which was supposedly in the Temple of Light. Ariana claimed this was possible by using the song Overture of Sages, which was apparently taught to the player by Kepora Gabora before young Link pulls out the Master Sword and would warp the player to the Light Temple. However, close analysis turned up several inconsistencies in the screenshots, such as Link's sword hanging on the wrong shoulder in one picture. The creator ultimately admitted the entire story was an elaborate hoax. Data mining of Ocarina has also been fairly comprehensive in recent years, and no evidence has been found to support that the Triforce can be collected, or that the Sword Beam or Unicorn Fountain are in the final game. Although Ocarina of Time had a fair amount of dungeons, rumors of even more dungeons popped up several times after the game's release. Tales of a secret hidden dungeon started spreading shortly after the title's release. Players discovered that playing the Song of Storms in one spot in the Haunted Wastelands made lightning flash, which uncovered a distant pyramid-like structure. Sandstorms usually stop the user from pursuing it past the area's boundary, but cheating makes reaching it possible. Approaching the pyramid will reveal that there's no concealed dungeon, and the supposed pyramid is just a rock. A rumored second secret dungeon was often discussed by Zelda fans, known as the Sky Temple. No actual evidence, real or fabricated, sparked speculation of the dungeon's existence. The Sky Temple was rumored to exist because every sage in the game has a respective temple that the player gets to explore, all except for the Sage of Light, Rauru. Because there was no dungeon attached to Rauru in the main story, players assumed there had to be a secret dungeon somewhere in the game. As the rumor wasn't based in reality, the supposed ways to reach the Sky Temple were often outlandish. Some rumors stated that players needed to kill several hundred Stahl children after freezing the day and night cycle with cheats, which would summon a gigantic skeleton monster. Killing this giant apparently opened a portal to the Sky Temple. Another rumor alleged that a cow in Death Mountain would fly Link to the temple after beating the game. The previous mentioned YouTube user Rusty Sporks also made a video that only exacerbated the spread of the rumor. In the video, Link is shown under the ice at Zora's domain, where he walks into a tunnel which takes him to the supposed remnants of the Sky Temple. As you might expect, this video is fake, and no evidence of any such dungeon has been found to exist in the game's data. The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask may not have been as popular as Ocarina when it launched, but it still attracted the rumor mill. Although many masks can be worn in Majora's Mask, the titular mask itself is never worn by the player in the game. This led to several rumors popping up that claimed it was possible to get Majora's Mask as a wearable mask. One rumor stated that if the player beat Majora 10 times in a row without losing a single time, and without getting the Fierce Deity Mask, a Moon Child would give Link Majora's Mask instead of the Fierce Deity Mask. As you might expect, there was no evidence to back up this claim, even 19 years after the game's release. At the start of Majora's Mask, the player passes an unusual twisted tree that resembles a Deku. Later on in the game, the Happy Mask Salesman teaches the Song of Healing to the player, which helps beings heal in various ways. Players eventually meet the Deku Butler at the Deku Palace, who later gives them the Mask of Sense and reminisces about his son. As the game's credits play, the Deku Butler is seen mourning beside a twisted tree, implying the dead tree was his son. This spawned rumors that the son could be restored as a living Deku somehow. The methods of restoration often involved the Song of Healing, but they were often debunked immediately. This is because the path back to the Twisted Tree is blocked off after the player reaches Clock Town. Despite this, it's possible to glitch back to the area or use cheat codes to go back. Unfortunately, none of the rumors gave an accurate means to revive the Deku Butler's son. Not all rumors about the game have a dark tone, however. If players go to the Astral Observatory, they might notice a caged Kuko near the telescope. Some players claimed that it was possible to free the Kuko through various means. One method was to shoot an arrow directly at the chicken, which would hit the middle of the cage, then to shoot a fire arrow, an ice arrow, and then a light arrow right at the cage. This would supposedly let the chicken loose. Due to the growing prevalence of the internet in the early 2000s, information on the development of video games was becoming more sought after, and their production was documented more thoroughly. Unfortunately, this desire for information led to rampant rumors. After The Legend of Zelda: The Wind Waker was first shown at Nintendo's Space World event in 2001, fans began speculating on why the game's visuals were so different to the tech demo shown in 2000. There was a rumor that Nintendo changed the art style because the tech demo looked too mature. Some people even circulated a fake interview with Shigeru Miyamoto. Miyamoto allegedly claimed that the original direction was realistic and may have been too violent, which would scare away small children. Some fans claimed that the then-unnamed game's visuals were, quote, simple, because it was a full-on remake of the original Legend of Zelda. The animations in the Wind Waker's reveal were very smooth and fans took notice. This even led to a rumor claiming the smooth animation was due to some sort of procedural code that was linked to players having one-to-one control over Link's sword with the analog stick, similar to the Ape Escape games. A second GameCube Zelda was rumored to be in development in 2002 by the same source that claimed Link would have one-to-one swordplay. Needless to say, the images provided were laughably fake. Another rumor around this time claimed that Wind Waker's story would involve Link traveling to the underworld to save Princess Zelda. Other rumors said the story would take place before all other Zelda games, and that every character would be voice acted thanks to the GameCube having far more storage than the N64. Some claimed that you'd be able to play as other characters such as Ganon and Zelda, and there would be a two-player cooperative mode in the game. And of course, people claimed you'd be able to obtain the Triforce. These last two rumors had some truth to them, as a kind of two-player gameplay was possible with the Tingle Tuner, and Link obtains a third of the Triforce in the game. Before Wind Waker released, there were rumblings that Ocarina of Time would be coming to GameCube. Further rumors elaborated on this, claiming a 3-disc collection would be coming out containing a director's cut of Ocarina of Time with unreleased dungeons from Master Quest. The rumors also claimed this version would have graphical options that let players choose between updated or classic N64 graphics. This would also include a making-of documentary, a music collection, along with a cloth map of Hyrule, pocket watch, art book, and a character figurine. Although some aspects of this rumor never came to be, a Zelda collection did end up coming to the GameCube that included both Ocarina of Time and its Master Quest version. Shortly after the Wind Waker launched, the fan website Hylia.com reported that the game had been issued a recall. This was apparently because Nintendo hadn't properly submitted the title's content to the Entertainment Software Rating Board and had to resubmit the game to acquire a new rating. However, this turned out to be an April Fool's joke on behalf of the site's webmaster. Did you know? Perhaps the most absurd Zelda rumor ever spread around a year before Twilight Princess's release. In August 2005, IMDb was updated to include several celebrities in the game's credits as voice actors. This included rapper 50 Cent as Epona, fitness instructor Richard Simmons as Tingle, and Reggie Fils-Aimé as The Man. Back in 2005, IMDb was seen as a very credible source of information. Because of this, many websites took the updated face value and reported on it, despite it being entirely false. The earliest rumors about Twilight Princess began in 2003, when claims of a cel-shaded Wind Waker sequel were reported by several gaming outlets. From this point onwards, two competing rumors spread. One set of rumors said the game would be cel-shaded, seemingly based on Miyamoto's comments about the next Zelda using similar graphics to Wind Waker. The other claimed any new Zelda game would take on a more realistic look, spurred on by Link's inclusion in the GameCube release of Soul Calibur 2. When Twilight Princess was first shown at E3 2004, the rumors of a cel-shaded sequel were put to rest. In July 2004, another round of rumors claimed that Twilight Princess was planned to release in summer 2005 in Japan, and everywhere else at the end of the year. The rumors also claimed Link wouldn't fight Ganon this time around, but an evil army called the Horde. They also alleged the game would be called either A Link to the Darkness or Legacy of Link. None of these rumors were true, and seemed to be guesses based on what Nintendo had shown at E3. Nintendo did originally plan to release the game in 2005, but ended up delaying it to 2006 so they could fine-tune the game and create the Wii version. Later, in April 2005, Electronic Gaming Monthly revealed that anyone who pre-ordered Twilight Princess would get a special pre-order bonus. Supposedly, the bonus included an entirely new version of the Wind Waker, featuring two dungeons that had been cut from the original game, and a complete graphics overhaul to match Twilight Princess. This, of course, was fake, and was one of EGM's infamous April Fool's pranks. In the run-up to Twilight Princess's release, IGN claimed that Hyrule took around 45 minutes to cross on horseback. Some fans misunderstood this claim, which spawned a new rumor that just Hyrule Field took 45 minutes to cross. However, both these claims were inaccurate. Hyrule itself takes about 5 minutes to cross on horseback, and Hyrule Field takes just 3 minutes. After the game's launch, a rumor claimed that beating the Wii version of Twilight Princess and watching the credits would put a Link Mii in the console's Mii Parade. This rumor was featured on many gaming cheat and tips websites, and is even on GamesRadar's Twilight Princess cheats page to this day. The rumor, however, is false. Fans once again looked back at print and online media, and noticed some parts of Twilight Princess changed since it was first shown. They saw several differences to the final game, such as how it lacked the magic meter, moblins, and an entire forest area from the game's reveal trailer. This area, which became known as the Beta Forest, was a fairly open wooded area that resembled the Beta Forest cut from Ocarina of Time. Naturally, fans wondered if this area was hidden somewhere in the game, which led to rumors. Many claimed the forest was still in the game, with various reports saying it was in the game and fully functioning, with others claiming only relics of it were still there. Several videos were published online to back up these claims. Some were highly speculative and lacked an understanding of game development, and others were entirely fake. Another area that fans tried to reach was the inside of Fado's home. For the entirety of the game, Fado's door is locked. This led to rumors about a hidden way to unlock the door, and that there'd be a special reward inside. Fans ultimately found a way to glitch through the walls and get inside, but inside there was only empty black space. In March 2007, Nintendo World Report interviewed the game's director, Eiji Aonuma, and asked him about Fado's house. Aonuma explained that modeling and programming the inside of the home would have taken up precious development time, so they decided to make the door permanently locked to save time. Throughout the mid to late 2000s, there were an entire series of rumors and hoaxes trying to pass off fake Zelda titles as the real deal. In October 2005, an eBay listing popped up for a Zelda 3 NES prototype cartridge. The cartridge looked fairly convincing and had the title The Legend of Zelda: The Triforce Saga. The cartridge's owner, Richard Vialu, originally denied requests to test the game, saying he was too busy. Naturally, this brought the cartridge's authenticity into question, so Vialu eventually posted an image of the game's title screen. When the auction ended, the prototype's final bid settled at around $3,000 by someone named Knight7. Vialu told now-defunct gaming site Joystick.com that he believed Knight7 was connected to game developer Silicon Knights. However, Joystick were contacted by president of Silicon Knights Dennis Dyack, who denied any connection to the auction. After the whole ordeal, Zelda fan site The Hylia scrutinized the prototype and noted several issues. The biggest issue was the time the cartridge was set to be made. Although Nintendo began designing Zelda 3 in 1988, the game itself was always planned to be a Super Nintendo game, not an NES game. As you might expect, the cartridge was shown to be a hoax. Less than a year later, in June 2006, another Zelda 3 eBay listing popped up, this time being a Super Nintendo cart. The game was bundled with other allegedly early versions of games like Star Fox and Earthbound, but this too is generally regarded as a hoax. In 2005, VGMaps.com posted an overworld map of Koholint Island, claiming it was from a special Game Boy Advance version of Link's Awakening. The title was apparently a pre-order bonus for The Legend of Zelda: The Minish Cap. The site claimed the GBA version had new challenges, such as figurines to collect, and a new dungeon that showcased the GBA's abilities. However, this was an elaborate April Fool's joke. VG Maps contributors John Leung and Osravad remapped Koholint Island entirely using background tiles and sprites from A Link to the Past. A year later, in 2006, another Zelda game was rumored to be in development. After an initial statement from Nintendo that a Tangle RPG was in the works, the now-defunct website BUG Game revealed that The Legend of Zelda: Tangle Returns was being made. The site posted a screenshot of the game, but this was clearly a manipulated screenshot of Super Smash Bros. Brawl's Final Destination stage. Despite the image being easily proven fake, and having a 2009 copyright on it despite the year being 2006, some fell for the image and spread it online. It ultimately became clear the entire ordeal was another April Fool's joke. The Tingle RPG announced by Nintendo was later released as Freshly Picked Tingle's Rosy Rupee Land. In 2008, VG Maps once again claimed to have background art from an obscure Zelda game. The site showed assets from The Legend of Zelda: Oracle of Hours. This name was often linked to the unreleased Zelda title Mystical Seed of Courage, which was the third game in the Oracle's collection. The game would have released alongside Oracle of Ages and Seasons for Game Boy Color, but was cancelled due to technical difficulties connecting the three games. According to VG Maps, Oracle of Hours saw Link meeting the Oracle of Hours, Furore. She's responsible for the movement of the sun and moon, but the evil entity Prudel captures her, threatening to cause an eclipse that would awaken their evil energies. Just as Oracle of Ages and Seasons had different times and seasons to jump between, Oracle of Hours would jump between day and night. As you probably guessed, this was another April Fool's joke from the site. Again in June 2008, a supposed leaked interview between Zelda series producer Eiji Aonuma and a journalist named Kyle was posted on several message boards, including 4chan, GameFAQs, and the IGN forums. This interview detailed the next Zelda game coming to the Wii, said to be The Legend of Zelda: Valley of the Flood, or Project Deluge. The game was apparently a prequel to Wind Waker, and was to be set in a dark steampunk-inspired world. The game's story would center around a young boy who takes up the mantle of the Hero of Time, despite not being the true hero himself. The boy would need to save Hyrule from being destroyed by a flood, ultimately leading into the events of Wind Waker. An image also surfaced around this time showing steampunk visuals and a professional-looking logo. This added some legitimacy to the rumors, that is, until the source of the artwork was found. The original image can be found on DeviantArt and was posted in 2004. Although the rumor turned out to be false, it continued to gain popularity due to its interesting premise, and Nintendo having already teased the next mainline Zelda title a few months earlier. In April 2008, IGN released a trailer for an upcoming The Legend of Zelda film. The video seemed to come out of nowhere and appear to be fairly well made. This is why many fans were surprised when a day later IGN announced the trailer was an April Fool's prank. The trailer was made in collaboration with Rainfall Films, who went on to make other impressive fan films such as Metroid: The Sky Calls. A few smaller hoaxes were published in the following years. In April 2009, Hyrule.net posted news about a Wii Zelda game that connected to Spirit Tracks' plot. In this game, the player would save Hyrule by sending top-secret letters to the future so future citizens could protect themselves. Past Link would send letters into the future for future Link to deliver. The site also released some unconvincing art to go along with the post. In April 2010, the now-deleted website Zelda in My Pocket claimed to have footage of a trailer for the upcoming Zelda game on the Wii. However, the video was of an old fan film that used footage from something else. Only a month later, Zelda in My Pocket claimed to have information on a new Tingle game from Vanpool, who made the Tingle RPGs on the DS. After several posts that gave little information, the site's owner admitted everything was a publicity stunt. The game they were referring to wasn't going to be made by Vanpool, but themselves, and was a fan game that focused on the side character Kakashi. Between 2008 and 2012, there were an entire series of rumors that claimed Retro Studios were working on a Zelda title. The first was in January 2008, and alleged that a retro-made Zelda game was to be announced at E3 of the same year. However, E3 came and went with no mention of the Retro Studios Zelda project. A year later, in May 2009, the panel on IGN Nintendo's Nintendo Voice Chat podcast seemed to back up the rumor. The team stated that Retro were originally working on a Zelda project but no longer are, and almost posted the rumor themselves a year earlier. The project was apparently going to be something big, but for one reason or another, development on the title stopped. In December 2011, rumors linking Retro to Zelda popped up again thanks to a Miyamoto interview with Wired.com. In the interview, Wired brought up Nintendo EAD's collaboration with Retro on Mario Kart 7 and asked if Miyamoto would do a similar collab with a Mario platformer or Zelda game. Miyamoto finished his response by saying, "As you know, we've already collaborated with Retro for the Metroid Prime series in the past, and I think when we talk about any other franchise, Zelda might be a possible franchise for that collaboration." A month later in January 2012, users over at NeoGAF found information posted by newly hired artists at Retro Studios. One of the artists was Eric Kozlowski, who stated on their personal blog, "I'm going to work on another project that I'm super excited about. I can't talk about it too much, but if all goes well, it might just be one of my crowning achievements as an artist." Users from the message board assumed this crowning achievement was work related to Retro, and possibly Zelda. They then tried to contact Eric on Twitter, who said his crowning achievement statement was referring to illustrations for his brother's book. Some users didn't take this as an answer, however, and pestered Eric so much that he deleted his Twitter account. Another month later in February 2012, Retro were supposedly looking for FX artists and 3D environment artists with experience making hand-painted textures. This led to speculation that Retro were working on a sequel to Skyward Sword, which had released a year before. No further information was released about the rumor, and the possibility of Retro working on Zelda was seemingly squashed later that year. In October 2012, Miyamoto did another interview, this time with Game Reactor's Spanish division. In the interview, Miyamoto was asked about Retro working on a Zelda game, and replied by saying that Retro wouldn't be a suitable fit for collaborating on Zelda. After Skyward Sword art was first shown, but before the game's title and story details were officially announced, speculation ran rampant about the game. In January 2010, a list of supposedly leaked details about the project was posted on the Japanese forum 2chan. According to the leak, Zelda Wii wouldn't continue the cycle of dungeon and overworld exploration that had become the standard for Zelda games. Players would also be given the option to choose if Link would be left or right-handed, and new abilities unlocked as Link's sword increased in power. Horseback combat was said to appear often, and the player's horse would have improved AI to better avoid obstacles. The female character shown in the game's first pre-release would apparently be named Adele, and would communicate with Link through his sword. The game's plot was said to involve time travel and take place either partially or completely outside of Hyrule, and the version of Link in the game would be the same one from Ocarina of Time, making Zelda Wii something of a sequel to Majora's Mask. In June 2010, just days before Nintendo's E3 conference, another leak appeared on German Zelda message boards. This supposed leak came from someone claiming to be the friend of a German language instructor working with Eiji Aonuma. They claimed that Zelda Wii's official title would simply be The Legend of Zelda, and would tell a story set hundreds of years before Ocarina of Time about the creation of the Master Sword. The leaker also said the name of the female character was Zordiana, and that motion controls would be used often throughout the game, such as for drawing symbols on doors in order to open them. The bow and arrow would also be controlled in a similar method as the archery event from Wii Sports Resort. The hookshot would return as an item, but this time it could be used to swing across gaps. The game would include two difficulty settings, a normal mode for casual players, and a hero mode for skilled players. There would also be dungeons with no bosses inside. Lastly, the leaker claimed the game's E3 demo would feature an ice-themed dungeon, which would be the first dungeon in the game. Another set of rumors were spread in June 2011. The rumors alleged that Skyward Sword was nearly complete. They also claimed that the girl's name would be Dorella, the magician shown was called Nefibaro, and was part of an evil group of sources trying to get the Triforce. Ganondorf would also be in the game as a child, and Zelda would have brown hair. The game would have a fully orchestrated soundtrack, and two overworlds which would contrast like heaven and hell. There was apparently post-game content that never ended with new dungeons, and would release November 1st of that year. While these leaks correctly predicted some details, they were largely proven false. The female character in the first piece of artwork was named Fi, the magician was named Girahim, horseback riding wasn't in the game, and many other details about the game's dungeons and story were shown to be incorrect. A trailer for Skyward Sword was released at GDC in March 2011, and fans spotted a few frames in the video that appeared to show the silhouette of Skull Kid. While there was a resemblance to the character, this turned out to be one of the game's redesigned Skulltula enemies. In late 2011, the next major game in the Zelda series was confirmed for the Nintendo 3DS. IGN editor Sam Claiborne stated Nintendo was working on two new Zelda games. In January 2012, an image surfaced on 4chan showing new Japanese logos for two games called The Legend of Zelda Fire Prophecy and Ice Prophecy. Building on Claiborne's statement, the image implied the new Zelda project would be comprised of two different games, similar to Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons on the Game Boy Color. However, in early 2013, the new project was revealed as a sequel to The Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past, proving the rumors to be false. In June 2013, a new set of rumors emerged about the game. It would apparently be set during a time of rebuilding after the events of A Link to the Past and would feature a brand new villain. There would be at least 6 dungeons, and the Dark World would return, although altered somewhat by the events of A Link to the Past. There would also be some kind of multiplayer functionality. While some details of the leak were accurate, much of it was shown to be incorrect by the official reveal of the game. In the run-up to E3 2012, a supposed leaked list of Wii U games was published online. The list reported several new games coming to the platform, including The Legend of Zelda HD Tri-Pak, which featured Wind Waker, Twilight Princess, and Four Swords Adventures in HD. Although this rumor somewhat predicted Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess HD's releases, it seemed to be a lucky guess from a Nintendo fan. Not only did Four Swords not come to Wii U, but several other titles on the list, such as Final Fantasy Racing, never came to be. Rumors about a new Zelda title for the Wii U were also common around this time. In 2013, the German video news site Polygamia posted an article covering details of a new Zelda game, allegedly shown by Aonuma during a visit to Nintendo. Titled The Legend of Zelda: Book of Hyrule, the game was said to take place in a modern world, starring a child Link without his trademark pointed ears as he attended school and visited the library. The article mentioned features like using an in-game smartphone to take screenshots, contact NPCs, or leave messages in the world for other players to find. In August of that same year, Polygamia updated the article, stating the entire story was a fabrication. It was only written to spark conversation in the Zelda community. In May 2014, rumors of a new Zelda game for Wii U emerged once again. Firstly, a list of games allegedly to be shown at E3 was shown. The list showed Nintendo's offerings for the year, which included The Legend of Zelda: Shard of Nightmare. Shortly after, a logo for the game surfaced, along with a screenshot of Link holding a torch. As you probably expect by now, the game was entirely fake, and the art for the fake screenshot came from DeviantArt. In 2015, attendees of the Zelda Symphony of the Goddesses concert in Germany had an odd encounter. After checking their street pass, they connected with someone who'd been playing The Legend of Zelda: Twilight Princess 3D. As it turned out, the person supposedly playing the game had modified their 3DS and edited their street pass information to show the non-existent game. Unfortunately for anyone that tried to access the fake Twilight Princess 3D eShop page, their accounts would be banned from Nintendo's online services. For several years starting in early 2015, rumors of a Zelda Netflix show spread. In February 2015, The Wall Street Journal reported that Netflix were working with Nintendo to make a live-action series. They also reported that Netflix was looking for writers, and that the show was in its early stages of development. Some doubted the claims, however, as the journal's source was anonymous. A month later, Time magazine asked then-president of Nintendo, Satoru Iwata, about the reports. Iwata denied any live-action Zelda was in development with Netflix, saying, "As of now, I have nothing new to share with you in regard to the use of our IPs for any TV shows or films, but I can at least confirm that the article in question is not based on correct information." Although this seemed to squash any hope of a Netflix show, the rumors resurfaced in 2018. In October that year, Adi Shankar, who produced the Castlevania Netflix show, made a post to his Instagram. The post said he was working with an iconic Japanese gaming company to adapt their franchise into his show. He then stated that he'd reveal which game the show is based on in November. Website The Warp claimed to know what the show was and that it was based on Zelda. However, when asked about the rumor, a Nintendo spokesperson stated, "We have nothing to announce on this topic." Rumors ran rampant until November 16th, when Shankar revealed he was making a show about Devil May Cry. At E3 2011, Nintendo showed off the Zelda HD Experience tech demo to demonstrate the graphical capabilities of the Wii U. This was the first time fans had seen Zelda in HD, and although the HD experience was only a demo, it led to some speculation about Zelda on Wii U. Later in 2011, Nintendo confirmed they were working on a new mainline Zelda for the system that had nothing to do with the HD experience. A large batch of rumors about the game began circulating in September 2012. Wii U Daily reported on info from an anonymous source, a source that previously broke accurate news of Nintendo working on the social network Miiverse. The report said that Zelda U was set for release in 2014 and that Nintendo had been working on the game since 2010. The rumor stated the game's development team was the biggest Nintendo had ever assembled, comparable to Rockstar's Grand Theft Auto team. Appropriately, the rumor claimed it was also the most expensive game Nintendo had made to date. The game supposedly had dungeons so big they were broken into 3 parts and took hours to complete. Players would use the gamepad to navigate and avoid traps, as well as follow clues. The game was said to have features like Miiverse and an online system where players can leave hints for each other. The game was said to reuse the art style from Skyward Sword, but that Nintendo were using a state-of-the-art engine built from the ground up. The title was also said to showcase things not possible on any other console. In December 2012, another anonymous source claimed to have insider info and released their own set of rumors. They claimed Zelda U would be shown at E3 2013, and although it wouldn't be released until 2014, the game would have a downloadable demo in late 2013. They too claimed the game's art style would mimic Skyward Sword's. The game's developers were apparently weighing the pros and cons of using full voice acting and whether Link should speak. The rumor also claimed that Nintendo's team in Japan wasn't expecting the romance between Link and Zelda in Skyward Sword to be as well received as it was, especially by Westerners. Because of this, they expanded on the relationship in Zelda U and looked to Nintendo of America for help. The Westerners at NOA were apparently looking to romance novels like Twilight and Fifty Shades of Grey for research. Although some of these early rumors were correct, they were generally inaccurate. The game didn't have massive dungeons or Skyward Sword's art style, and didn't focus on romance. It also wasn't shown at E3 2013 at all, which led to fans asking more questions and even more rumors popping up. In July 2013, rumors emerged that Zelda U would be using the HD Experience graphics engine. These rumors also claimed the game was a direct sequel to Twilight Princess, and it'd have an open world on a similar scale to Skyrim. The game was said to build on the controls of Twilight Princess's GameCube release, and that there'd be heavy use of the gamepad. These rumors also alleged that there'd be 10 dungeons, and players could do the first 5 in any order, and then the second 5 in any order. Solving puzzles in one dungeon would affect puzzles in other dungeons, and Twilight Princess art director Satoru Takizawa was said to be directing the title. The game was said to have an online co-op similar to Four Swords, and this multiplayer mode would have paid DLC. All NPCs would apparently be voice acted in the fictional Hylian language. This set of rumors in particular was highly inaccurate. In September 2014, a rumor emerged stating development of Zelda U had barely begun and that its plot was non-existent yet. The only setup was that dormant ancient machinery had come back to life and started causing problems. A river that runs through Link and Zelda's village had become tainted, making the water undrinkable and the crops weak. Instead of the usual sword and 3 items loadout, players had 1 item slot but could switch between items, even in combat. Each time the player hit an enemy, they filled a momentum bar. When filled, players could slow down time to perform precise hits. The game would have a crafting system, and Zelda would follow Link around, similar to games like Ico. The vast majority of these Zelda U rumors were disproven when the game was first shown in June 2014. When the game was shown, players noticed its incarnation of Link looked even more effeminate than usual, and wondered if this Link might be female. Later in April 2016, industry insider Emily Rogers reported on several rumors about Zelda U. Rogers had previously revealed that a Paper Mario game was coming to the Wii U, which turned out to be accurate. Rogers said players could choose between a male or female Link in Zelda U. Even though Nintendo initially debunked claims from earlier rumors, a female version of Link named Linkle was added to Hyrule Warriors. This opened up the possibility for a female Link in Zelda U once again. Rogers also claimed that Zelda U would have voice acting, but Link would remain mute. However, in June E3 2016, Nintendo reconfirmed that no female Link would appear in the game. The game's producer, Eiji Aonuma, told GameSpot, "We thought about it and decided that if we're going to have a female protagonist, it's simpler to have Princess Zelda as the main character. If we have Princess Zelda as the main character who fights, then what is Link gonna do?" A few months before Breath of the Wild's release, a rumor popped up on a blog claiming the Wii U version had been canceled. The cancellation was apparently linked to performance issues, as shown in a supposedly leaked document in the blog post. The rumor alleged that pre-orders for the Wii U version had been canceled and that the pre-order page at Amazon Japan had been removed. However, this was a complete lie, purposely set up by a troll. The original rumor blog post was later replaced with a GIF that mocked the journalists who reported on it. At the start of January 2018, several video game news outlets reported Nintendo had contacted them to use review quotes for A Link Between Worlds. Companies usually ask to quote reviews when they're publishing a product for advertisements or to put review quotes on the box. This caused speculation that the game might be ported to the Nintendo Switch. Some pointed out that Nintendo may be republishing the game for 3DS under the Nintendo Selects banner, but A Link Between Worlds had hit Nintendo Selects in Europe over 2 years earlier. Some thought it was strange Nintendo would bother adding it to Selects in America so late in the 3DS's lifespan. However, later in the month, Nintendo confirmed the game would be re-released as part of the Nintendo Selects line in North America. Again in January 2018, a rumor claimed that a remake of Link's Awakening was in development by Grezzo, who'd previously worked on Zelda 3DS remakes. The game was apparently a spiritual successor to Link's Awakening, similar to how A Link Between Worlds was a successor to A Link to the Past. The game was also said to take inspiration from Breath of the Wild. Although this game never came to be, it did turn out that Grezzo was working on a Link's Awakening remake for the Switch, so there may have been some truth to the rumor. Later in 2018, there were rumors of the Zelda franchise crossing over with LEGO. In August, a list of games were supposedly found on the back end of the eShop by a hacker, and posted to 4chan. Among the list was LEGO The Legend of Zelda, presumably a LEGO series game that borrowed the Zelda property. Many dismissed the rumor outright, as the list was very optimistic, and some titles had bizarre names Nintendo would never use. A few weeks later, however, Kevin Hinkle, former community manager for LEGO in the Americas, made a tweet that acknowledged the rumors. Although this kept the rumors spreading, there has since been no announcement of a Zelda LEGO title. Rumors emerged after a Zelda concert in Osaka, Japan on November 25, 2018. Series producer Eiji Aonuma was at the concert and spoke on stage with concert MC Yu Shimamura. Several attendees were live-blogging the event and transcribed an interaction between the two. Aonuma came on stage, and Shimamura said, "I'd like to ask about secrets behind Breath of the Wild." Aonuma responded by saying, "Are you sure you don't want to ask about a Switch version of Skyward Sword?" Fans were unsure if Aonuma's response was a joke or if he was teasing a new game, which led to a slew of rumors about Skyward Sword coming to Switch. Shortly after this was reported on, Eurogamer reached out to a Nintendo spokesperson who told them, "At this time, we have no plans to release The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword on Nintendo Switch," putting the rumors to rest.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.